Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where our lives are being transformed by the teaching of God's word. It's the gospel of Christ, Christ and Him crucified, the gospel of Christ, what Jesus has done, what Jesus has accomplished for you and I. This is the best news you'd ever hear in your lifetime. This is the best news you ever come across in your lifetime. Hallelujah. Your best news is that which Jesus already did on the cross of Calvary for you and I. His death, His resurrection. It's the best news ever. Hallelujah. I said it's the best news ever. Don't say my best days are ahead. No, your best days are in Christ. Hallelujah. That's where you find the best news ever. It's in Christ. Glory be to God. Okay, so we've been examining the implication of Paul's statement. I determined not to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. And we've said, is it right to say that Christ and Him crucified is the first set of teaching we're going to encounter as Christians? Then we now go to other matters like marriage, business, politics, you know, relationships, and all that. Parenting, you know. I wonder why people always build a ministry on parenting. We hardly say much on being a good child, though the apostles actually gave instruction in that direction. That one doesn't seem to have a big market, right? But then, is that the case? And then we've been able to examine from scriptures how that, see, both the instructions given concerning different aspects of life and the revelation of what Jesus has done for us, who we are, what we have become, and what we have in Him, they are one and the same. They are all to be seen as Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because the conduct that the instructions seek to draw out from us are found only in Christ Jesus. The instructions demand the fruit of the Spirit. The instructions demand a walk in the Spirit. So the instructions are not contrary to the revelation of what Jesus has done for us. They are all essential. They are essentially the same. What Christ did for us. So that means even the instructions that are given to us to draw out the conduct that we have in Christ Jesus are not contrary. They are not separate matters. Hallelujah. Because the conduct the instructions demand are also part and parcel of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. The Spirit of God is our inheritance in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit is a part and parcel of that inheritance. So it's not, they are not two different things. Hallelujah. Yesterday in the last episode, we saw how the instructions given concerning marriage are not earthly wisdom, earthly tips. They were not teaching marriage and everything within the scope of marriage. They were giving instruction to Christians on how they ought to conduct themselves as the married. Glory be to God. So it's not earthly wisdom. And that means 1 Corinthians 2:14 applies even to those instructions. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. That means if you tell an unbeliever to love his wife as Christ loved the church, he cannot receive that instruction because it's an offense to him. He cannot discern the wisdom in it. It doesn't make sense to him. Hallelujah. To love without finding fault, to love without keeping a record of wrongs, it doesn't make sense to the world. Hallelujah. So, you see that those instructions are purely spiritual. Ephesians chapter 5, the same. Love your wives, you know, as Christ loved the church. You find the same at Colossians. So, the instructions are not earthly wisdom. Now, today let us see how relevant the message of Christ is in the area of business, finances, and money. Someone once said to me that Jesus taught on money more than he taught on any other thing in the Bible. And I'm not kidding you. Someone told me this some years back. That Jesus spoke more about money. He taught on money more than he taught on any other thing in the Bible. I was amazed. You know, because last time I checked, the Bible says Jesus went around in, you know, the synagogues of Galilee, Judea, and, you know, Capernaum. He was teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So I'm shocked. When did the gospel of the kingdom of God become an emphasis on money? The truth of the matter is, Jesus had no teaching on how to make money. Listen attentively. Listen attentively. And don't misquote this teaching. Don't misquote this statement. By this, I have not said it is wrong to make money. But that Jesus has no teaching on how to make money. Jesus did not teach men how to make money. If you read through his ministry, his teachings, you find that Jesus was not teaching men how to make money. Principles, steps, ways, methods. He wasn't teaching how to make money. You know what? Jesus was teaching different things concerning money. In fact, his statements concerning money can make you think that it's I mean, just have enough to eat and, you know, depend and enough to eat and give to others, and I mean, that should be all. Don't be ambitious. Some of the things Jesus said make it seem as though it's wrong to even be ambitious in life. Hallelujah. So look at the things Jesus said concerning money. Let's start from there. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Glory to God. Mark 4, 19. Bible says, and the cares of this world, this is the parable of the sower. Let me start from verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Hallelujah. We hear the word, and the cares of this world, verse 19, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So does this look like a teaching on how to make money? No. It's even a word of caution. How that the desire for riches, the deceitfulness of riches can choke the seed of God's word, can choke the impact of God's word. Aren't there many believers, many Christians, many people who the only reason why they are not paying attention to God's word, the only reason why they are not paying attention to anything spiritual, anything God has to say, you know, things concerning things of the spirit, is because of their obsession with wealth. Hallelujah. There are Christians who can never be stable, who will never be stable, have chosen not to be stable in receiving God's word because of their desire for money, because of the appeal and the deceitfulness of riches. Hallelujah. He wakes up to his phone, he's chatting people up concerning his business, he's not read his Bible. He ends his day with the same passion for money, trying to close deals. He hasn't prayed. Hallelujah. There are believers who, they won't think twice. Any opportunity that comes on a Sunday, they must take it. They won't think twice, they'll just take it. They will quickly just drop church activities, drop the gathering of the saints for any opportunity that has to do with money. So Jesus is even giving us a word of caution, showing us how the word of God can be of no impact in the life of a man because he's subject to the love of money. His mind is so much after money, he's passionate about money, he is deceived by the allure of wealth. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 10, 23 to 24. Mark chapter 10, verse 23 to 24. Praise God. Bible says, then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now, it's hard for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Before they mistook or misunderstood what he was saying, he says to them again in verse 24. You know, when disciples were astonished at his words, Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. So the problem was putting your trust, placing trust in riches. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 12, 15. Luke chapter 12. In fact, we're going to start reading from the previous verses. Luke chapter 12. Hallelujah. Luke 12. And I'll start reading from verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. He didn't say to one of them, he said to them, he said to both of them, both the man that was cheating the man, the other person, and the man that was being cheated. Jesus looked at them and said, beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Have you seen that? Jesus is saying the life of a man is not defined by what he has, by what he owns. You are not what you have, you are not what you own in the flesh, in the natural, in the material world. Your life is beyond this, so beware of covetousness. Hallelujah. I mean, this is a man who came to say, see, my brother is trying to cheat me, come and avenge me. And then he says, beware of covetousness. Your life is not defined by how much you have. Hallelujah. That's amazing. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, look at what Jesus has to say. I put it to you, when you read through the Gospels, I've read the account of the Gospels, the ministry of Christ, over and over, I've lost count. You won't find a teaching on how to make money. Jesus has no such teaching. He wasn't teaching people on how to make wealth, how to generate cash, how to sustain inflow of cash. He didn't have teachings on things like that. Praise God. And you're going to see why very soon. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus speaking says, no one can serve two masters, for either he would hate one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Hallelujah. You cannot serve God and mammon. Praise God. Now, if you look at the context very well, serving mammon has to do with taking thought for your life, being worried about life, being anxious, worrying about things, being desperate, you know, to make it, to succeed, to just get things. Because that's the context. That's why it goes to verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So Jesus is not against people succeeding. He's only against the fact that people can get so worked up, worried, anxious, desperate to a point where it has translated into service to mammon. Hallelujah. It has translated into placing so much trust in wealth that you would do anything to go after it. It has gotten to a point where you trust so much in wealth that without it, you feel less. Without it, you feel something is wrong with you. You are not okay. You are not at ease. Hallelujah. You are consumed with worry and anxiety, complaint and murmurings. Praise God. Now look at this. So that means Jesus was not teaching how to make money. Rather, he was warning against the love of money, and he instructed us to have the right attitude and conduct towards wealth, not to trust in it. That's what you find in the ministry of Jesus. Do you know why? Because making money is a concept in this world. It came before Jesus came into this world to die for our sins. Making money exists in the world as an earthly ideology. Hallelujah. So Jesus couldn't have been teaching that. Jesus came teaching the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13, 11. That's what he described his teaching as. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, 11. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus says here. He says, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given to know. I mean, to know the mysteries. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 23 to 24. Luke 10, 23 to 24. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke chapter 10, verse 23 to 24. See how Jesus describes his teaching. The wealth of his teaching. Oh God. Jesus' teaching is to be seen as something different from ethnic philosophy, ethnic concepts and ideologies and you know, principles. It's totally different. Luke 12 from verse 23 to 24. Hallelujah. Sorry, Luke 10. Luke 10, 23 to 24. Bible says, then he turned to his disciples and said privately to them, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things, what you see, and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear, and have not heard it. I mean, if this is about making money, Jesus couldn't have been saying many prophets and, you know, kings desire to see these things and they've not seen it. Solomon was very rich. Solomon knew so much about making money. So Jesus is saying, what I'm teaching to you, what I'm revealing to you, the things you are seeing by virtue of my ministry are things that prophets and kings desire to see and they could not see. Hallelujah. And what are these things? Context, verse 22. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Hallelujah. So these are things pertaining to the Father. These are things pertaining to the Father. These are things pertaining to the revelation of Christ concerning the Father. Praise God. So these are the things Jesus emphasized. This is the crux of Jesus' message. So Jesus couldn't have been teaching how to make money, which is an earthly philosophy and ideology. Look at how Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 2:14 again. I've quoted this, you know, a couple of times in this episode, or rather in this particular week, in these teachings, ever since we started explaining Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:14, he says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So Jesus couldn't have been teaching how to make money, because if you teach on how to make money, the natural man can receive it. It's an earthly concept. You don't need to be in Christ to learn it. That's why people go to school to learn business, to learn how to succeed in life. It's an earthly philosophy. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago, I got this material on how to, you know, invest, on how to study, on how to improve your finances, and they were teaching things on how to understand cash flow and things like that. I mean, these are not Christians. These are not believers. Whatever they were teaching was not from the Bible. But you know, whatever they were teaching is good enough to improve your finances. Hallelujah. It's good enough to teach you how to make money. And you know what? Jesus is not angry. Jesus is not like, wow. So when it comes to spiritual things, you now come to me. When you want to learn money, you now be going to others that be. Jesus is not, see, he's not competing with those things at all. Hallelujah. Just like he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were to be of this world, my servant will have, my disciples will fight. So don't think Jesus is in rivalry with those who are teaching business, with Harvard Business School, Lagos Business School. Jesus is not competing with them at all. In fact, that's their job. And Jesus is not tampering with it at all. Praise God. He's not competing with them. If the ministry of Jesus is that which is meant to teach us how to make money, how to succeed materially, then it is wrong for every believer to go to school. Hallelujah. Yes, it is wrong. Because Jesus preaches salvation by faith, you know, it is wrong for us to trust in any other. So we follow Jesus squarely. Everything that Jesus teaches, everything that the gospel of Christ represents, it is wrong. It is a taboo to learn, you know, concerning those things from any other place. Hallelujah. So, if Jesus teaches how to make money, it is wrong for you to go to school to learn how to make money. It is very, very wrong. But the reason why you and I are free to go to school, get, you know, professional qualifications in the area of business and finances and all that, is because Jesus has no teachings on these things, and he's not competing with any professor, any business guru, he's not competing with them in these areas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see that the teaching they were giving, their teachings and instructions were not on how to make money, but on how to conduct ourselves towards money, towards riches. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is very clear from the Bible. The only reason why this will be very hard for you to stomach is if you have yielded yourself to false teachings and false, you know, preachings that conclude that the Bible is a business book. The Bible can be used to teach people principles of business. The Bible can be used to teach principles on how to make money. That's the only reason you'll be finding what I'm saying very difficult to stomach and to receive. But away from all those deceptions and lies and falsehood, these things are very, very clear from the scriptures. Even a child will receive them. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians 4. Verse 28. Ephesians 4:28, Bible says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. That is, the man who was stealing before, let him stop stealing, let him start living right. You see, it's about conduct. It's about his conduct. Let him start working. What is the conduct here? Let him start doing honest work. Let him begin to cultivate a lifestyle of honesty, as it is meant to be in Christ Jesus. He was once a thief. He should stop all that. He should learn to make a honest living. Praise God. And then Paul did not even give the instruction for his sake particularly. He didn't say, let him walk with his hand so that he can enrich himself. He said, so that he can have to give to him who has need. Selflessness, sacrifice, being concerned about others. Glory be to God. This is not an instruction you can give to any man outside Christ. It's only an instruction to be found in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's a conduct you can only find in Christ Jesus. Working for the sake of just meeting the needs of others. Working for the sake of, I mean, you are working and you are thinking about others. The idea in the world is that, see, nobody worked for me, nobody labored with me. So, I mean, why should people be open to receive from me? Hallelujah. You can't give a man an instruction like this unless he is in Christ Jesus. He's going to protest it. When I say to an unbeliever, work so that you can meet the needs of, he finds it funny and absurd. But this is instruction to us in Christ Jesus, because we know that Jesus demonstrated the same thing. He gave himself sacrificially to us. Hallelujah. Bible says, just as Jesus gave himself for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Glory be to God. See 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4, 11, Bible says, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Now, this will seem as though an instruction to work, to do business, you know, is an idea exclusive to Christ, or an instruction peculiar to Christians. No, that's not true. As a matter of fact, the truth is, the concept of work, and you know, just like the concept of making money, doing business, is not exclusive to Christians. It's a worldly ideology. Hallelujah. So when we find believers who are not working, it's strange, because on a normal day, you were working before you met Christ, depending on when you got born again. Praise God. Some of us got born again when we were much younger. We didn't know anything about working. But then, I mean, there are lots of people who were working before they believed the gospel. So after believing the gospel, you ought to continue in your normal earthly vocation, keep working and all that. Christianity does not take work away from you. So this is not an instruction exclusive to Christians. Hallelujah. And I'm going to show you something very soon. That's why, now look at 2 Thessalonians 3, 11 to 12. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 3, 11 to 12. It says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. They are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they walk in quietness and eat their own bread. So there were folks that were not working. Hallelujah. There were folks that were not working. So the instruction is given to men who want to use the faith as a cover to desist from doing honest business, doing honest work. It says you must keep working. Now, because look at this also. First Timothy 5, 8. Because work is not a doctrine of Christ. Here you get. It's not that it was Jesus that started teaching on work, that people must work. Work was already in the world. Doing business was in the world. People were busy doing business and working. That's why at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, Bible says, but if anyone does not provide for his own house, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know why? Because even an unbeliever provides for his family. Praise God. An unbeliever provides for his family. So work is a culture in the world before we even, you know, became believers. So this is not an instruction on how to do business. This is not an instruction on how to make money. It is telling believers to continue in their normal responsibilities that they've, you know, given themselves to even before they met Jesus. Hallelujah. And not use the faith as a shield or as a cover, you know, as a shield against their responsibilities. You are meant to continue being responsible. If you were a parent, you know, Paul would say, let every man remain in the state in which he was called. If you were called while you were free, if you were called while, just continue, just, you know, do your best to continue your normal vocations. Hallelujah. So look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. Ephesians 6, 5 to 9. I'll be closing very soon. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now listen. It says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. You see, this is different from an instruction you can give to somebody who is not in Christ. It says you must obey your masters as to Christ. Submit to them, that is, honor them, in sincerity of heart. It says, not with eye service, verse 6, as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Hallelujah. So you see that this instruction on work is not teaching how to do business. It's teaching you the right conduct you should maintain as a believer doing business. The right conduct you should maintain towards your leader, your boss, your employer, because you're a Christian. Praise God. No, so not with eye service. Do it sincerely. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord. Hallelujah. That is, do it as though you are serving Christ. Then look at verse 9. And you masters, Do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality with him. It's the same thing. Giving up threatening. Conduct. And this is the same instruction that he gave in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 22 to 25. Praise God. Colossians 3, 22 to 25. Bond servants, obeying in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Hallelujah. Have you seen again? It's instruction on conduct. There's no way you are going to read all these instructions and come up or reach the conclusion that the apostles were teaching business principles. It's impossible. Unless you want to be dishonest and insincere. Hallelujah. This has nothing to do with business principles, principles of business, branding, marketing, how to innovate, how to be creative, how to, you know, this has nothing to do with all that. Hallelujah. They all have a singular focus, the believer's conduct in business. Praise God. The believer's attitude towards business. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. This one is even much, much more staggering. 1 Peter 2 verse 18. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2 verse 18, look at this. It says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Imagine that. Can you give this kind of instruction to a man that is not in Christ? It's impossible. You'll find it awkward and appalling. You'll find it very funny. It won't take you seriously. Submit, obey, honor, you know, your master according to the flesh, not only to the good and gentle, even to the harsh. The master that is treating you unfairly, unjustly, he says to submit to them. Honor them. Hallelujah. That's amazing. So these are not principles of doing business. These are not success tips. You can't stay with these letters of the apostles and then hope to understand the pros and cons of marketing, business, finance, you know, investment. You know, that would be failure. Because we go to secular institutions to learn these secular principles. Then the Bible now teaches us Christian conduct. Hallelujah. Christian conduct. The attitude we ought to put on as believers doing business. Glory be to God. That's all. So these are the things you are going to learn in the letters of the apostles and, you know, in the words of Jesus Christ. Teachings that you learn, the lessons rather, will be on believers' conduct and attitude towards money, towards business, towards finances, your conduct, your attitude towards wealth. Those are the things you are going to learn emphatically in the teachings of Christ and his apostle. Hallelujah. So these things also can pass or can be described as Christ and him crucified, because the conduct is found in Christ. Believe you me, you cannot obey a master that is harsh towards you unless you want to do it by the Spirit of God. So the conduct is not something you can do. You can learn by just trying to be courteous, by just trying to, you know, to be courteous, by just trying to, you know, be a kind person, a moral person. No, it must be conduct influenced by the Spirit of God. It must be produced by the Spirit of God. Glory be to God. So, I mean, this is a very short one. And then tomorrow we are going to see politics and governance. We're still going to talk about these things in great details in the coming days. But then, this is just a brief teaching on the implication of Christ and him crucified, the implication of that statement. And we have seen that in marriage, what was taught by the apostles concerning marriage is Christ and him crucified, because it was about believers' conduct in marriage. And that conduct has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. In business, the same. It's about believers' conduct, how we ought to conduct ourselves. And that conduct also is only found in Christ Jesus. So these are not earthly principles, wisdom of men, secular ideologies, no. How then should I learn this? That's why we go to school. Go for seminars. God is not against you going for seminars. Buy books by authors that, you know their onions. Read after them. Sales guide, marketing skills, how to win clients, these are things that are all over the place. Learn those in the places you ought to learn them. Go for seminars, workshops, read books, follow TV shows, subscribe to podcasts on leadership, on business, on things like that. But then when you come to the letters of Christ to his church via the apostles, you are going to learn how you ought to conduct yourself in the world, in business, towards money as a Christian. Godly attitude and conduct as a man in Christ doing business in the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that means all that you learn in the world cannot help you get the attitude right. All that you learn in Christ cannot give you principles and, you know, principles of branding, marketing, and all that. So you go to the right quarters for the right things. Praise God. Someone said to me one time, I think I wrote something, I said, the Bible is not a book for teaching everything. So somebody came and said, you are trying to limit God. God is omniscient. I said, I'm not saying God is not omniscient, but the Bible is not a book for teaching everything. He says, so where do we then learn every other thing? I said, but that's why you're in school. Praise God. I find it difficult to understand when a believer listens to this kind of message and he picks offense. And he says, are you saying we are not to learn this in the Bible? And then such a believer is in school studying hard, reading and passing exams and trying to get, you know, into the labor market with a CV that will not carry Bible study and prayer. I mean, your CV will be based on based on professional courses you've taken, your degree. It shouldn't be hard to agree with me that you didn't learn all that from the Bible. Hallelujah. So the scriptures serve to teach us our conduct in Christ Jesus in the area of business. Glory be to God. Tune in tomorrow and let's have another great time in God's word together. Talk about it. Invite somebody, share the link, and let's have a great time together in God's word again. Tomorrow will be the last episode in this particular teaching. You don't want to miss it. Have a great day of being full of the Holy Ghost, full of the word of God. See you in the next episode.